Our scripture reading today is Philippians chapter 1. It's on page 899 on your pew Bibles. And to bring you into context what the verses are, I'm going to just read verse 15 before I continue on with verse 18. This is Paul speaking. Some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. But whether or not their motives are pure, the fact remains that the message about Christ is being preached, so I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me, and as the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will all turn out for my deliverance. For I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that causes me shame, but that I will always be bold for Christ. For I have been in the past, as I have been in the past, and that my life will always honor Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living is for Christ, and dying is even better. Yet if I live, that means fruitful service for Christ. I really don't know which is better.
Well, good morning. We are now a whole month into the new year. And so, by a show of hands, I want to see how many of you made New Year's resolutions. Not as many as I thought. Okay, out of like the four of you, how many of you are still continuing with your New Year's resolution? All right. All of you. Okay, that's not what I was expecting. Statistics say that about 80% of people will fail in their resolutions by February. And I thought that was just astounding. And then another 50% of those people fail after 6 months. So really only 10% of people, continue the whole year with their resolutions. So keep going. I have never been great with resolutions myself. I've done them before. I don't think I've ever made a whole year. Either they're, too lofty, or even if they were attainable, like setting a goal for the year, it gets pushed back, or other things fill its space. And so there has been, I would say, quite a few times in my life that I've only put in, half the effort to complete something, such as my resolutions. I did it, I would say, countless times in high school. And again, in my first year at Columbia Bible College, I would just do, enough work to get by. I did it also when I was probably about 8 years old or so, and my mom thought that I should do piano lessons. My older sister was taking lessons at the time, and she had been doing so for quite some time, and my older brother was also taking lessons, just finishing them up, as he wanted to switch over to guitar. And so my mom told me that if I wanted to do any instrument, I had to start with piano and do at least 1 year of piano lessons. So reluctantly, I accepted, and I went each week to piano lessons. I put in just enough effort and time to, go on to the next lesson. And I did that for a year. Well, after that year, I very quickly switched over to drum lessons, where my passion sat at the time. And I practiced, and I put my time and effort into learning how to play drums. But I'm sure some of you are wondering if I have retained any of my piano skill. Well, I think I'm going to let you be the judge of that. So the answer is no. I'm no, Chris Peters. At Christmas time, they're playing some great, magnificent piece. And so, I was only minimally invested in learning how to play the piano. And my knowledge only grew just enough, like I said, to get through each lesson. because I just didn't take it seriously at the time. And because of such, my passion didn't grow, and my knowledge and my skill didn't grow either. Now, I'm sure we've all, you know, done this in some regard. And, you know, my question is, like, why do we do that, right? But more importantly, why do we do that when it comes to our faith? How come we put in just enough time and effort to be considered a Christian, but ultimately we don't take it seriously? Because we do need to take it seriously. Because it's our salvation, but it's also our neighbor's salvation too. And maybe we started our walk with Christ on some great spiritual high, but after a while, our passion dwindled, and without practicing it intently, our knowledge and our desire has diminished too. You know, we're all charged with the mission of being proclaimers of His word, whether that's in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, or even in our schools. I really like verse 24 out of our scripture for today: to live as Christ, to die as gain. Philippians is written by Paul and Timothy to the church in Philippi, if you can guess. And it's evident in the opening verses that Paul and Timothy truly love this church and the people in it. They see good things coming from this church, and they praise them for their faith in Christ. Also here in the beginning, Paul says that he is in chains, but that through it, the gospel is still advancing. It says throughout the whole palace guard. You know, I can just imagine it. Paul being tied up, but not letting that silence him. You know, I'm confident that any guard walking by or any guard that was set to watch over Paul in time would have heard the gospel message. And I'm sure some would have been annoyed, frustrated. And yet, I believe that others would have listened and would have believed. It says that it's clear to every guard and everyone else around that Paul is in chains for Christ. And a little further in verse 29, Paul writes, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." And so two things are evident in this: that this is not the first time Paul's been arrested, and secondly, that it seems that the church in Philippi is also in hardship. To live as Christ, to die as gain. Being in chains was not a pleasant experience. And Paul was in prison because of his faith. Yet he did not waver from his faith. He kept proclaiming, even in prison. He told anyone and everyone who would listen or who was in earshot that, you know, the gospel message. And so Paul was writing to the church in Philippi, telling them to hold fast, to keep praying, and to have confidence in Christ. Because though they are in times of trials, God is still good through it all. This past summer, I had the privilege of helping at a kids' camp, or a VBS, for 2 weeks. The theme was that though, through everything, God is good. So when life is unfair, God is good. When life is scary, or when life changes, or when it's sad, that God remains good. And the last day, the kids learned that when God is good, or when life is good, God is good. I found it incredible watching these kids open up during certain stations about how life was each of these things for them. I think they found comfort in God, learning and understanding that God never changes, that he is always good. And I think that's what Paul and Timothy are trying to tell us as well. Because life will change. It might get harder. You know, it might change. It might get sadder. But God will always stay the same. And in verse 27, Paul encourages the church that whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And so our passage from today, as it was read, stretches from the end of verse 18 until 22. And I think it shows us a lot about the character of Paul and who he turned out to be as a devoted follower of Christ. Paul went from persecuting Christians to being persecuted himself. He went from arresting and killing Christians to being arrested multiple times and eventually dying for Christ. You know, God works in all kinds of incredible ways. He meets us where we are, and he transforms us into what he wants us to be. We all met God as hopeless sinners. Yet what does it say in Romans 5? That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? I really like that. Verse 8, while we were still his enemies, Christ died for us. The Message translation for our passage, I think, gives a neat view, or a fresh view. It says that everything happening to me in this jail only serves to make Christ more accurately known, regardless of whether I live or die. They didn't shut me up, they gave me a pulpit. Alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I am his bounty. Life versus even more life, I cannot lose. They didn't shut me up, they gave me a pulpit. Paul knew his mission, and he knew his reward. Either way, it was a victory, and either way, the gospel was proclaimed. To live as Christ, to die as gain. So how can we be on fire for his work like Paul and Timothy were? Well, I think, firstly, we need to take our faith seriously, as I mentioned at the beginning. Secondly, we need to read the Bible, and we need to make God our first and foremost. And thirdly, we need to pray. Pastor Chris a few weeks ago spoke about prayer and its importance in our lives. You know, it's how we converse with God. It's how we speak to him and how we let him speak to us. And all these things are so important. And the more we do them, the more we will want to do them. As we read his word, as we pray, and as we commit our lives to his work, the more the passion, the more the fire will grow in our hearts to do these things. So don't be like me with my piano skill, but take your faith seriously. I think we all need to be reminded of this, because I know I need this reminder from time to time. Because it could be so easy to go a day without praying or without praising God, especially when we think we have it all together. When nothing is wrong, when we're healthy, financially stable, that's when we might start to forget that God is really in control. I'm going to be honest, this week was actually pretty rough for us as a family. Rhett got food poisoning Monday night, ended up going to the hospital at 3 in the morning. And so Aaron got sick shortly after, and so did I. And so Friday I was texting Pastor Carey, I was saying, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach on Sunday. And, you know, I found myself praying for healing. But then I paused and I realized I should really be praising God and thanking him for all the days that he's given us good health. Because I don't do that enough. We need to praise God when times are good. Pray to God when times are hard. And read the word of God always. Let me say that again. Praise God when times are good. Pray to God when times are hard. And read the word of God always. Let us all be reminded to live for Christ, to rejoice when the gospel is proclaimed, and to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. You know, we're not all called to be evangelists like Paul was. We're not all Jim Willises or Vic Thiessen. But we are all called to share the gospel with our neighbors. And that may be difficult for some of us. Maybe there's some anxiety that comes with speaking about our faith with our neighbors. But I think there's a few or the biggest thing that we can do is to look for the teachable moments. And so what I mean by this is that when a coworker comes to you, or when a non-believing friend, or even a hardened neighbor, and when they come to you looking for advice or just someone to vent to, that those are the teachable moments. Those are the times when we can respond either with a question about how that situation makes them feel, or we can give advice as long as we rely on the Holy Spirit's guidance. But the biggest thing we can do is we can pray for them. And I know these things go a long way in the hearts of the unbeliever. Paul finishes this letter in chapter 4 by saying, "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, because I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Because we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So we can give that piece of advice. We can talk with our neighbor. We can comfort a coworker. And we can do it all for the advancement of the gospel when we lean on God and let the Holy Spirit speak through us. So I want to encourage us all today to not just be simply living a either stagnant or a lukewarm kind of Christian lifestyle, but I challenge you to live simply for Christ, to take action in his name, to do his work in this world, big or small, whether that means going on overseas missions or just simply shoveling the walk for our neighbor. Today would be a great day for that. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. To live as Christ, to die as gain. Because it's Christ who died for us while we were still his enemies. He came, he suffered, he conquered death for us. So why not proclaim that truth? Why not do it to anyone that'll lend an ear like Paul did? At this time, I want to invite Carla up, and we're going to close with a song called Simple Gospel. And so we did the song at Family Camp. Some of you might remember that back in September. But if you don't know it, it's pretty easy.